I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. That's the reason we gather together this morning, is that the Lord is our rock and our Redeemer and is worthy of our praise. So thank you for coming. So as we join together to do that as God's family and God's people this morning, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who prayed for the Mardi Gras event, participated by going, and did all the work that went into it beforehand. It looks like we grossed a little over $30,000, which is just awesome. And so we'll have another wonderful year in which we can extend scholarships to a lot of families. What I'd like is for those of you that were here that worked on the planning committee, would y'all stand for a moment just so we can recognize you? A lot of work, but it was a good night. Fun was had by all. I also want to remind you, Wednesday, not only do we have Bible study in the morning, but that's the beginning of Lent. Can you believe that it's here already? Ash Wednesday is going to be 6 p.m., so you can come Ash Wednesday. And later in the season, when we get to Maundy Thursday, just remember 6 o'clock for the evening services, and you'll be fine. But we'll have our Ash Wednesday service Wednesday, 6 p.m. I really hope that you can come and begin the Lenten season with that. You know, we're also tonight going to pay or say thank you to the Strindons. They're not going to be gone forever, but they're going to be gone a lot. We're going to miss their absence for sure. But if you want to come, 5 o'clock over at Davis Insurance Building, behind the building, they have a hospitality room. If you show up there, we're going to have barbecue and salad and other stuff like that if you want, BYOB. But join us, 5 o'clock, for just time of some fellowship food and a chance to express our thanks and gratitude. So I hope you can be there for that. If you will, turn to one another. Welcome each other with the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Debbie?
I see him.
Do y'all hear that buzzing in the choir room?
No, it's him. He's not hearing.
Oh.
Thank you.
trees and the call to worship. As God called Moses from the mountain, as Jesus called the disciples to climb with him to the peak of another mountain, as the disciples stood in awe at the sound of God's voice, let us pray. God, this morning we come and we're glad that you still call out to us, not only to come and worship, but to go forth as your witnesses in the world today. We're glad that you still greatly desire to be revealed in our midst so that we can know you and love you. We thank you that you're here now, sending your Holy Spirit to continue the revelation of your goodness, your grace, your salvation, and your life. So come and be present. Be present in a glorious way that encourages our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Let's sing hymn 73, Swiftly Past the Clouds of Glory. Grab the hymnals and let's sing hymn 73.
Your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Let us also confess our sins together and receive the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. I invite you to pray with me the printed prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Let us pray. Though we want to walk with Moses and see God's holy radiance, we hide in the midst of our own desires, unable to perceive the presence of God's grace. While we want a world of justice and peace, We walk in clouds of selfishness, unable to share God's loving kindness. Though we want to follow Jesus up the mountain, we cower in fear, unable to bear the light of God. Though we have made the miraculous discovery that God is working in our lives, we return to daily life as if it were an ordinary thing. By your grace, O Lord, allow your transforming power to continue its work in us and through us, for your name's sake. Amen.
That announces the earth that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that God lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Let us be thankful for the fact that God lavished on us all wisdom and understanding, especially the reality and knowledge that we are forgiven and saved, do and can live a new life in Jesus Christ. And let us thank God for that as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. God's word tells us that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, and those who live in it. Knowing that we are to be stewards of all that God has provided, let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Let us share what we have with the giving of our offerings.
gratitude for life and for all the blessings that come from you, we offer back to you some measure of what we have been given. Accept our offerings and use them and use us for the building up of your reign in this world. Amen.
You may be seated. Young people like to come forward, which we have a few of today. It's great. I'm going to show y'all some pictures. I actually don't have to have these. I keep them anyway. The reason I don't have to have them is I can picture this day up here in my mind quite well. Have you ever had a day that is just so great you don't want it to end? Have you ever been to something that is just so wonderful that you never forget it? Well, I had a day like that. And here's a picture of what it looked like. You want to pass that down? Anybody? Can you all guess what that is? That's a picture, yes, of my wife. It was a special, special day. It was the day of our wedding. It's a picture of her. Like I said, I don't need this picture. I can remember quite vividly when she came down the aisle, smiling from ear to ear. That was a day I'm not going to forget. But yet, I have a picture of that very special day. Actually, I brought two of them. Look at that. Yeah. Because we wanted to remember that day. It's a day that we have a lot of pictures of because we just wanted to remember the occasion. Well, I want to talk to you about the disciples of Jesus because three of them are going to have a day they'll never forget. They're going to have a day that's awesome. They're going to have a day that's incredible, and they don't want that moment to end because it is so exciting and spectacular. So I'm going to read to you what happens, and I want you to see if you can figure out what made that day so special for them. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and he led them up on a high mountain. And it goes on to say he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. And not only his face, but his clothes, they became dazzling white. And then there was a voice, and it said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." What is it that made that day so special? Those three guys are up there with Jesus. What happened that made it so incredible? Can I make myself shine? Not really. I mean, I could let my forehead be a little oilier, but that's about it. Jesus shone. He shined. That let them know there is something special about God because it looks like the glory of God is just coming right out of him. But what else happened that made that day a day they would never forget? They heard a voice from the sky, a loud voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Do you think after hearing the voice from heaven, they listened to Jesus? Yeah, I probably would have too. But that was an incredible day. But you know what was wonderful about it? When they went back down the mountain, where they were met by sick people and people that were in trouble and people that needed help, they could remember Jesus is with us, and you know what? He's awfully special. You know, we're going to face these challenges like these people that need to be made well, but we've seen Jesus has the glory of God. I bet he's the one that can make them well. When the disciples are out on a boat on the open ocean and a storm comes and they're worried about drowning, they're going to wake up Jesus. You know why? They're going to have that picture of him in their heads, of the glory of God shining out of him. So they're going to go to him for help and say, hey, can you do anything about the storm? It's because they've got that vision of who Jesus is, of how incredible Jesus is. And that's why we come to church. It's why I hope at home you read your Bibles. God wants to tell you, Jesus is my son, and he is my beloved with whom I'm well pleased. And I want you to listen to him because he knows all about me. And he can show you the kind of life that I have in store for you. So listen to him. So at home we read our Bibles. At church we come here to worship because we want to get these glimpses of God with eyes of faith. So that when we go into the world we'll know he's with us. And that makes the difference. I hope you'll get to know Jesus. That's why we're here. He's incredible. And he wants to show that to you. So let's pray and ask him in our hearts. Jesus, we're glad that you came into this world and that you revealed the glory of God. And I pray that you would reveal that glory deep in our hearts, in our innermost being, so that we can trust you in all situations. Let us not lose sight, not only of who you are, but what you can do in any situation we face. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for coming up. Y'all give them a round of applause for sharing with us. And before we sing our next hymn, Bill and Sarah Strindad, would y'all come up for just one second? I'd like y'all to come up here. I've got something I want to give you. They're building a home, so y'all are going to need to pray for them. That's no easy task, and I know they'd appreciate your prayers. Well, what I have for you is, I know that y'all are going to be back and forth between here and Kansas. It's not goodbye forever, but we're going to miss your presence with us. We're going to feel the absence for sure. Because you raised your kids in this church. You've been members for years upon years. And even after your children were raised, you still volunteered for VBS. You still participated in the Scouts. You've still been incredible members of the church. You know, in the book of Peter, it says we are a royal priesthood. And we've seen you wear your collars, so to speak, even though you didn't put on a clergy shirt. So I just want to give this to you. It's a certificate of recognition to Bill and Sarah Strindad for the years of servant leadership and generous stewardship of time, talent, and resource. And that's from us, the church. And we just want to say thank you so much for all that you've been. Let me give y'all a quick prayer. And again, if y'all want to give them personal wishes, you can if you come tonight. But let's say a prayer. God, as they embark on a new chapter of their life, I pray that you would be the author of it, that you would write every letter, every word, and fill every page with your will as they look to you with the eyes of faith as they've always done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, y'all. Let's sing our next hymn. It's going to be, Oh Jesus, I Have Promised. Let's sing that prayerfully. It's hymn 388, and let's sing, Oh Jesus, I Have Promised.
is of the transfiguration of Jesus. This is a moment in which the disciples are given an even greater revelation by God as to this Jesus they follow. They will witness together the glory of God shining bright in Jesus, God's Son. They will have this vision, this experience to carry with them as they descend the mountain and follow Jesus in ministry to his cross. Let us not just remember the revelations we have of God's presence with us, but may those experiences aid our faith and remain a part of our vision as we look to minister to a hurting and broken world. I will read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, found on page 18 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Hear the word of the Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Beside you, showing you the way.
I'm going to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, and it follows well the transfiguration passage, because Peter is going to be speaking and let the church know, look, what we've been telling you about Jesus are things that we've seen and heard. It's not just some pie in the sky story that we concocted on our own. And so what you need to realize, just as God was being revealed to us, is He wants to speak to you. So be a people that listen. And so here we are in 1 Peter as he shares these words with the church. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to Him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is My Son, My beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with Him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." I don't know what you did, but thank you. It's about to go crazy. Oh, the organ singing. Okay. All right. With this vision of and this experience that the disciples had of Jesus in hand, Jesus is trying to tell them and us to go back down the mountain. To go from this extraordinary encounter with God's Son back into the ordinary demands of everyday life. And that's because there were realities down at the bottom of the mountain that were just as important and significant as the experience that the disciples had of Jesus when they were up there high on the mountain. Jesus lets us know there's realities in our everyday lives that He doesn't want us to miss. So instead of remaining and gazing comfortably at Christ's glory, which is what we hopefully do in worship, we're to get up and we're to go out and return to the world. But we are to do so with a more meaningful vision of Jesus Christ. We're to take the vision with us into the day-to-day goings of our everyday living. The joy is we carry with us a greater reality that transcends our immediate circumstances, which are very real. We take the glorious vision of Jesus with us into the everyday world where we see people being slain by their own demons and the demons of others. We take the reality of Jesus with us into those places where people are hungering and thirsting for more, but they don't know quite what that is. We take Jesus with us into the storm-tossed boats where the waves of life throw us to and fro. This vision we take with us. We take it with us because it allows us to see a greater reality behind all of our everyday, ordinary circumstances. We know that our circumstances are real and confront us, But so is the Jesus who enters back into them with us. The mountaintop encounters that we have, and I do hope we have them, the mountaintop encounters that we have with Jesus give us strength for daily ministry down in the valleys. Jesus calls us to go back down to those who have not yet beheld His glory. And those people who have not yet beheld His glory are all around us today. The world may be filled with darkness, but God will reveal His glory. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew He would be persecuted before God's glory made Him exalted. Jesus knew He would die before God's glory would raise Him from the dead. Jesus knew that He would give Himself to others before they would give themselves to Him. Jesus knew there'd be a cross before the crown, but He went to Jerusalem. And He came down the mountain knowing that God's glory revealed would be the final result, no matter what happened. Jesus meets us this morning to grant us that same kind of vision. A Christian named John Oxenham wrote, "Never once since the world began has the sun ever stopped shining. His face very often we could not see. We grumbled at His inconstancy. But the clouds were really to blame, not He. For behind them He was shining. And so behind life's darkest clouds, God's love is always shining. We veil it at times with our faithless fears and darken our sight with our foolish tears. But in time, the atmosphere always clears, for God's love is always shining." That is what John Newton was talking about in his famous hymn, Amazing Grace, when he said, "I once was blind, but now I see." For him, it happened unexpectedly and inexplicably. And it's why we often sing, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." For we know we need to be transformed. And we know that that's exactly what God can do. He did it in Jesus and He can do it in us. And so when we come to church on Sundays, it's not just to see what we can get for ourselves, but it is so that we can leave this, quote, mountaintop experience and go out there. We come to church so that God can send us back out to touch the needs of the world with His glory, because we've got a glimpse of it. This moment on the mountaintop with Jesus, accompanied by God's voice from heaven, is as incredible as it is mysterious. But the living God who came to those disciples long ago in such a radiant fashion, with such powerful words, is the living God who comes to us. Who comes to us in our prayers, who comes to us hopefully in our worship, who comes to us maybe in a ministry encounter or through a life event. But what makes it difficult for us is we live in a modern world that is very intolerant of mystery. Our day and age, as you know, is obsessed with the idea of knowing and explaining everything. And if it can't, it often dismisses what is mystery. I remember a story about a little boy. His father gave him the usual dinner command, "Hurry up and wash your hands and come to prayers." And the boy was headed for the bathroom. He could be heard muttering germs in Jesus, germs in Jesus. That's all I hear around here, and I can't see either one of them. But the living God of Revelation, who desires to be known, comes to us so often in surprising and mysterious ways. And the revelations that we do receive may not always be immediately clear. If they were, there'd be no need for faith. For some, God may become more real in a magnificent manifestation as it did for Moses long ago on top of Mount Sinai, as it was also for the disciples that we just read about. But for others, the revelation of God can come in a still small voice, a verse of Scripture read with fresh eyes, or through the voices of choir members who sing of God's glory. But it is in these moments that bring us into the presence of the very real and very living God. They let us know God is with me. And we're blessed to be able to carry that into our circumstances. Now, I'm going to ask some of you to put on your thinking cap or your memory hat. But you might remember that years ago, there was a TV commercial where it would show, and it was on a lot, it would show a group of friends that would be sitting around a pretty campfire. And there's a clean, clear mountain stream that's just rushing by them. And there's a skillet of fish on the open fire, a steel tub that's filled with old Milwaukee beer. I don't even know if they make that anymore, but anyway, one of the friends that's sitting there around the campfire says to all the others, "Fellas, it doesn't get any better than this." You know, it's good when we have those moments when everything is just right. Those experiences that we think, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. And it's natural for us to want those moments to last forever. We want to stay in the moment. We don't want it to end. But the problem is that the God that we discover on the mountaintop is also the God that is always on the move. God never stays stationed in one place. You know, it was when the people were trying to make their way through the wilderness that God got up each day and he led them by a pillar of cloud and by night by a fiery pillar, so that they could see where to go. The God of the Bible is like a Methodist preacher who's moved every 3 to 5 years. And that's the God that calls us to follow. Moments of high religious experience are important to our faith, just as moments of emotion are important in a marriage. But as you know, you can't build a marriage on those moments alone. Nor can we build our faith on the memory of a great moment with God. For God is always calling us into a future of God's own making. That means we must head down the mountaintop from those experiences to meet the problems of the marketplace. Descending back down the mountain with his disciples is no different from that Old Testament moment when Moses, after encountering the glory of God atop Mount Sinai, is compelled with a great sense of urgency by God to head back down with a stone tablet under each arm to appear before a people that were quickly losing their way. And so both stories, Old Testament or New, they teach us that every genuine encounter with the living God turns out to be an urgent call to discipleship at the foot of the mountain. For there is a world desperately in need of a vision of God, or the touch of someone who's had a vision of God and who wants to share it. Real discipleship is not just what happens to us in the sanctuary. We see and learn from these passages this morning. It is ultimately what we go back and do in the real world that counts because we've had them. Not long ago, a new pastor was called to a new congregation. And the local newspaper was supposed to announce to the town the installation of Dr. Jones as the pastor of First Baptist Church. But instead, the newspaper printed in bold the headline that said, "The Installation of Dr. Jones as Pastor of First Baptist Church." You know, I share that because there's a part of us all that would prefer insulation rather than installment when it comes to doing the real work of God's kingdom. Sometimes living as Christians amidst the squabbles, the complaints, the pettiness, and the pain of life in the real world is far less glamorous and far less glorious. A safe, comfortable insulation may be what we desire, even when God is calling us to come back down the mountain. If you think about Jesus, he left the mountaintop, that wonderful moment, to head for the cross. His life would be anything but insulated. But Jesus went with a vision that at the very end of it all would be the revelation of God's glory. And so he left. He went down with the disciples. He left the safety of that incredible moment, but he did so with a vision that God's glory would be revealed, not just to three disciples, but to all the world. And so God's calling us right now today to share our faith and our experiences outside the safety of the church and out in the world which God still loves and the world in which God still desires to redeem. And so when we have the encounters with God, those wonderful personal encounters, we simply can no longer, especially in today's day and time, keep those to ourselves. Amen. Because God has spoken to us through his word this morning, and because it does tell us, inform us, the reality of what we believe, let's profess our faith and let this moment be a reminder that that's what we're to do out into the world. If you'll take your bulletins and affirm with me what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand and do that together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And because we are a people that have glimpsed God's glory, we do continue to go to him daily with our prayers, with our lives, and seek that partnership that he so eagerly desires to have with us. So let us go to God now with our prayers. God, thank you that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to come down from that glorious moment and enter into a very broken world, not knowing probably exactly what he would face from one moment to the next, but knowing that he would have to pick up his cross and carry it all the way to Jerusalem and up the hill where he would give his life so that we could live with you forever. Thank you for that atoning sacrifice that took the punishment upon itself that our sins deserved. And thank you that now that our debts have been paid, we can go forth freely to live in your loving presence. We do pray that because we've heard you speak to us, that because you have been revealed in our midst, we would carry that vision into all our moments. And so that the vision would be stronger than anything that threatens us. That we would no longer be a people who are afraid, but a people that can go forth with joy, knowing that there's no obstacle too big for you to confront. There's no valley too dark for you to lead us through. Let your light shine in us, but also, Lord, let that light shine through us, that others might see your glory in our good deeds and come to praise you as well. We ask that you would equip, that you continue to empower, that you would bless your church so that the ministry of Jesus Christ would indeed continue to a hurting and dying world. And as we minister in your name and as we go forth on your behalf, O Lord, we ask that Jesus would return, that he would come as promised and establish his victory forever and ever, so that all things and everyone would indeed be made new. So meet us where we are and continue to transform us into the people, your people, that you would have us be, as we come to you praying the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn. It's Be Strong in the Lord. And the words are there in your bulletin. So let's stand and sing that together. Be strong in the Lord. Love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you today and forever. Amen.